Anyway, we are in our series on United. We're in the book of Ephesians. We're going to be in Ephesians 2 this morning. If you're still one of those people with the paper Bible and want to turn to it, you can do. When I was 19, I worked in it was called a handicap centre then. I'm sure that's not very PC anymore. But I worked in a day centre for adults with physical handicap. And it was one of those places where each day had different clients. And on a Monday, this guy called John Haynes used to come in. John was one of those full of life guys. He was in his late 60s, and he had polio when he was young, which meant he had real problems walking. And he had two of those sticks, you know, those kind of, those walking sticks. I mean, not the poor quality ones like Katie's got, the ones that went right up your arm, you know, and supported your shoulders and everything. Amazing. And he would kind of walk like this. I'm doing a Dave Tomlinson. He used to walk like this in the centre, and he was just a brilliant, full of life guy. And John used to come on a Monday and a Tuesday. And on the Thursday this 1 week, there was a death notice in the paper. John Haynes, 67, died suddenly. And we were all like, oh, John's died, because he was full of life. I mean, he had a physical handicap. There was nothing wrong with him in that sense. He was well. Oh, what an amazing thing. What a horrible thing to happen. And as a staff, we saw a lot of people through the week. But some of them really, you know, they became your friends. And you're like, oh, it's so sad. And who's going to go to the funeral? And we're talking about that as a, you know, I was the bottom of the peg care assistant, you know. But who's going to go to the funeral? Who's going to do that? And on the Monday morning, John came on a Monday and a Tuesday. And on Monday, you're going and feeling a bit sad. And John comes into the centre. I'm not dead! I'm not dead! I'm not dead! I mean, what a thing! What a thing to be named, to be the same age as a man with the same name who dies in the same smallish town. Eh? Oh! How are you feeling this morning? Are you dead? Are you with us? We're going to read from Ephesians chapter 2, 1 to 8. It will be relevant. I mean, you know, vaguely, obviously. You know, don't get too excited. Hang on, breathe. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of the world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who were disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath, but because of his great love for us, God, who was rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved, and God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace, expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not by work, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Whoa! That's a cracker, isn't it? It's not about you. It's all about Jesus. What an amazing thing. I was thinking about my friend, John, and I was just thinking about that idea of being not dead. And it's a good thing, isn't it, when you're not dead. If you're not dead, then God's still got something for you. I think we all need to grab hold of that. If you've still got breath in your body, then you've got a mission. You need to figure out what it is, but you've got breath in your body, and you've still got a mission. Paul writes in Ephesians 2, and Paul sometimes is very blunt, and he's speaking to you. Yes, you. He is absolutely on point here. This is not some vague message for the other person. You're the person you think of right now. It's you. And as this letter was read out in the church in Ephesus and in Laodicea and in all those cities in what is now Turkey, the people hear this. They hear it read aloud. And what they hear is a message for you. They're not thinking of the person in front of them. They're not thinking of their spouse. This is a message for you. He's speaking to the Jews and to the Gentiles. He's a Jew writing, but he says, this also was me. I was once lost. I was once dead. I was once in this place. And he says, you are in the same place. I can't help thinking of Monty Python. Bring out your dead! But I'm not dead yet. The action will be. Get on, you know. If you don't know that movie, I'm not recommending it to you. But it is very funny. Anyway, bring out your dead. And we're sitting here going, but I'm not dead. I'm alive. This is not, by the way, an evangelism strategy. I don't try this one. Don't go to South Parkway later. And as people get off the train, shout, you're dead in your sins. They probably won't come to Jesus. You may spend some time in the hospital / police station. He's talking to the church. He's talking to the church. We need to get hold of that. This is not for our friends, neighbours, work colleagues. This is for us. Paul is saying, this is who you once were. And you only know you're alive if you're alive. Don't you? And if you're alive, you know, oh, I was once dead. How do I rescue the people who are still dead? I'm not dead, cries the guy from Monty Python. But the word from Paul is that he was. That he was. We read last week, Ephesians 1:18. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened. It's an incredible mixed metaphor thing that Paul does there. Paul's English teacher would have been horrified at him, wouldn't he? Your heart hasn't got eyes, has it? But he's trying to say, may your brain and your emotions both get together and see what God is saying. May your brain and your emotions both get together and hear and see what God is saying. You are dead in your sins. I shy away, I hope you know this, those of you who come here regularly, from the you're a sinner sort of gospel, because I know I am. And so many times I've been in those church services where all you hear is you're a sinner, you're a sinner, you're a sinner, you're a sinner. And all you do is go home depressed, don't you? Because all they're doing is underlining something you already know. I'm already a sinner. I know I'm ashamed. I know I'm broken. I know I'm fallen. I know I say the wrong things and do the wrong things. We already know that, don't we? That's not just religious people, by the way. I mean, the reason depression is off the chart in our culture is because no one has got anywhere to go with their sin. If you want proof that this nation is no longer Christian, just look at the Tory leadership contest. Not what you think, Kath. I mean this. If you have got a drug habit in your past, you can be a pastor in this city. If you've got a violent criminal past, you can be a pastor in this city. I know them. If you've been a semi-alcoholic layabout, you can be a pastor in this city. Why? Because you can confess your sins and be forgiven, and you can turn from them and be made new. True? Yes. And in our politics right now, some guy who snorted some coke 20 years ago, they're not going to let him be PM. I mean, that might be good. But that proves to us that we are no longer in a Christian country. Because in my Bible, it says that you can confess your sins. And he is faithful and good, and he will forgive you of all unrighteousness. And you can be set free. I know pastors who were armed robbers. Amazing. And they don't hide it. They say, this is what I was. This is what I am. Yes. Amazing. Amazing stuff. Paul is speaking to the living dead. And he's saying there's a couple of issues that we need to deal with. We need to deal with our trespasses and our sins. The trespasses bit, the transgression, depends on your Bible verse, is when you cross the line. You know, when it says, you know, when it says do not walk on the grass, I think, well, I'll just skip then. Are you the same? I mean, when you see that 70 on the motorway, you think it's more advisory, isn't it? Don't you think that? I remember we the kids were little, we're flying along the M62 going to the northeast. And we're listening to Harry Potter. There you are, I'm speeding and I'm listening to witchcraft. Judge me, it's okay. So I'm driving along, we're listening to this Harry Potter story, and I am enthralled by what Hermione is up to, and you know, how Ron is such a divvy, and yet we love him. And we're, you know, there he is, brilliant. And before I know it, well, actually, probably for 5 or 6 miles, there's been a car with blue stripes and lights on behind me. And he has followed me, tells me later he's followed me for 5 miles. I'm doing 86. And he pulls me up. And this is my attitude to being caught in trespass. Don't make excuses. It's a fair cop. I am speeding at some considerable amount. I mean, I could have had 6 points. Probably could have been banned. You know what? He let me off. I mean, he didn't let me off. Firstly, he made me go and look in the windows of the car at my children. I'm in the shame, the walk of shame, you know? I'm walking, looking in the windows, and he's going, see that one there? See that one there? That one could, you know, if your tire had gone, you'd have lost that one. And that one. You know? It's like, oh, no. But what do you do with that? What do you do with that? It's a transgression. You say, it's a fair cop. You were absolutely right. I am sorry. I was speeding. If you want to give me the points, I deserve them. He didn't. There is a God, you see. Paul says, you are lost in your trespasses, in your transgressions, and in your sins. And the word sin is about missing the mark. And this is where we get this all the time in our culture, where people say, well, I'm good. Do you get that? I'm good. Why would God? I mean, you know, just turn on the telly, you see the bad people, can't you? You don't have to look very far to see evil in our world. But I'm good. And what the scripture says is this, that no one is good but him. No one. We miss the mark. Go and sit in a quiet room on your own and see how long it takes before you sin. I mean, you might do quite well. You might go, I'm doing great. That's pride. Oh! We're nailed, aren't we? We're nailed. Paul says, you are the living dead. And he talks about the pressure that we're under from the dead living. He talks about the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. And when we look at that, we can so easily think that we're in this one-on-one battle. Satan versus God. And we just blame Satan for everything. And there's Christians who do that. I'm under attack. You're not under attack. You're being stupid. Stop it. We need to recognize that this is not... Sometimes Christians come across as dualists. That's a nice little word for you. Like it's an equal fight. Yahweh, the Almighty God, is everywhere. He sees everything. And he knows everything. And he is omnipotent and omniscient. Satan is a created being. He is not everywhere. And honestly, I mean this with the greatest respect, I don't think he's that bothered about you. If I'm honest with you. I think he's got bigger fish to fry. Problem with that is we then downplay it, don't we? And say, oh, well, there is no enemy. We've become all rational. But there is, Paul says here, very clearly, the prince of the air. The word air, by the way, means foggy atmosphere. Look what he got. He got the fog. What have we got? We got the sun. I thought that was brilliant. Never mind. We get the sun. But the influence of the enemy is the spirit of the age. And we live amongst the spirit of the age. And I know there is absolutely, there is demonic attack on Christians. Don't misunderstand me. There is. But more than that, we are against the spirit of the age. The age that does not recognize Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. The spirit that mocks the only spirit, the only religious person that was mocked in our culture is Jesus. That tells you something. It tells you that he's alive and he's powerful. No, don't worry about the idols. Jesus is alive. We need to recognize that there is an issue with us. The blame culture in which we live is very bad for Christians. It's very bad. Because you, as a believer, have to recognize that the problem is you. Nobody else. There is a point where you have to stop blaming your parents. My dad's in this morning. He's off the hook. At almost 52. But there's people in our world who keep blaming us because of my childhood. Your childhood might have been awful. Mine was great, but childhood might have been awful. Oh, I thought I'd better say that. There's a point where you need to recognize that the issue is you. And you, what do you do with that? You confess your sins. You say you're sorry, and Jesus forgives you. And he calls you into his family. The blame culture is awful for Christians. We need to flee from it. We need to get out of the foggy atmosphere. And we need to get with the living God. Because it is the living God. It is a living God who brings us hope. It's a living God who will bring hope in our nation. It's a living God who is alive and speaking. This passage talks about the wrath that we are under. Wrath. And the wrath of God, like sin, is not a very popular subject, is it? It's not, oh, what did you talk about in church today? You know, you want to, oh, you know, Holy Spirit. But, you know, wrath, what? But the wrath of God is a biblical idea all the way through. Not that God is somehow angry, and Jesus is the nice one, hi, and Jesus comes to somehow make the angry God be happy with you. That's not what Christianity is about. He's a good, good father. He's a good, good father. But if you are a father, you know what it is to have wrath about your children's behavior and about the things that are happening to your children. He's a good, good father. He who does not get angry does not care. The plan of our living God is that we should be free. Not dead, but alive. Not stuck in the foggy atmosphere, but alive and well and in the heavenly realms. The living God wants to call us from a place of death into a place of life. Do you want to be in that place? God who loves us. He loves us and he calls us to be with him. To be the grateful dead. I love that. I was having fun with the names. We are grateful. We are made. He made us alive in Christ even when we were dead in our transgressions. You see that? We'll talk about grace and stuff next week more. But see that? You were still dead when Jesus called you. That's incredible. It's not about how good you are, how nice you are, how spiritual you are. It's about him. He calls you. And when he calls you, he says, come and be grateful. John says in 1 John, don't claim to be without sin. Because if you do that, you make yourself a liar. There's a little bit of a theological joke there. Don't say you're not a sinner, because you are. And yet, when you are in Jesus, you are alive. That sin in your life is no longer fatal. Why? Because Jesus has made you alive. Are you with me? Yeah. I'm no longer under control. My mum brought my reports from junior school this week. We've had fun reading them. This is Mrs. Herbert. I was 7. Behaviour, C+. I was pleased with that, actually, because I remember stabbing Ian Wortland with a compass. And he had been particularly annoying, and everyone was much bigger than me in those days. He was much bigger than me. And when you can't fight and you're tiny, what do? You stab them with a compass, right? I'm looking at the back row, right? Yeah, that's right. Keep your compass handy. It's about confessing your sins and being changed. You know, I think if they'd been allowed to, they'd have written, will not amount to much. Well, they'd have been right. Because I'm not looking for their approval. And if I'm honest with you, I'm not looking for yours. I want to be right with him. With the living God who makes me the grateful dead. Come on, Jesus. In the passage before, in Ephesians 1, one of the problems with preachers is we split it up and you kind of miss it. But in Ephesians 1, we're told that Jesus is raised to the heavenly realms to sit beside the Father. And in Ephesians 2, we're told, we're sitting next to him. Oh, that's amazing, isn't it? That you are sitting next to him. You are not in the foggy realms. You are sitting by the sun, in the sunshine, seeing what God is doing. If you are already a follower of Jesus, why do you keep sitting in the fog when you can sit in the sunshine? Well, partly it's because you keep going back to your old life, to the sin that so easily entangles you. Stop it. Drop it. Walk away from it and say, Lord Jesus, I want to see what you see. I want to see people as you see them. I want to see this world as you see it. I want to be, that's the royal box at Albert, the Royal Albert Hall. I want to be in the royal box. I want to see what you see. How do you do that? Through the power of the Holy Spirit. It's Pentecost, did you notice? It's Pentecost. The Spirit of God is alive and at work. If you want more of God, he's got it for you. How'd you get that, Nick? You just ask. Lord, will you fill me with your spirit today? Actually, let's step back a bit. Lord, will you forgive me for my sins? And will you fill me with your spirit today? Come on, we want more of that, don't we? We want to be the grateful dead. And when we are the grateful dead, we become the dead grateful. We become those who know who we are, not because of what we've done, but because of what he's done. We feel that we know that we're special, not in the sense that everyone else is rubbish and we're better, but that, oh, this is what it feels like to be known, to be loved, to be called. This is what it feels like to step out into your gifts, to use the stuff God has given you to do. And that's not about church. I say this to you every week. It's not about church. It's exactly what one of the, I can't remember who it was now, one of the millions of people who spoke this morning said. It's about being missionaries out there in the world. We become the grateful. Sorry, the grateful dead become the dead grateful. And that pours out of our lives. I don't know if you've seen this chewing gum advert. I think it's just gone off. They might have banned it because they do it every so often. They ban the chewing gum adverts because they, you know, they're a bit dodgy. And it's an incredible chewing gum advert. You've got this really healthy, good-looking young man, and he's talking to a zombie. And he's like, oh, you know. He says, I want to kiss you, but you're a zombie. And she says, yeah, but I'm kind of hot. And then a hand falls off. I thought I wouldn't show it to you. But that's the world in which we live. That we're always being called back by the zombies. By the ones who live in the foggy atmosphere. We say, oh, come and do this, it's kind of hot. It's not! But we forget. We lose sight. The Message translates Ephesians 2 verse 1 like this. Don't let the world, which doesn't know the first thing about living, tell you how to live. Don't let the world that doesn't know the first thing about living tell you how to live. You need the living God this morning. If Jesus is not your Lord and Savior, then you, yes, you are dead. But you can be alive. It's simple. You can chat to me about that over coffee, or you can just do it yourself. Amazing, do it yourself religion. Jesus Christ, will you be my Lord and Savior? And he says, yes. Oh, it's a good deal, isn't it? You don't even need a vicar, sack them. You and God. Between you and God. Come on, church. We need to be the dead grateful. If your Christianity has become so miserable because you keep looking out at the world and thinking that is so much better, you've got a skewed view of what's going on. We need to see Jesus. We need to see life and hope and joy that we only find in him. If you're still dead in your transgressions and sins, ask for forgiveness. If your Christianity has just become dulled, ask for the Spirit to come. You know, those guys and girls at Pentecost, 120 of them, they'd been with Jesus. It's something with the Holy Spirit. Yeah. They'd been with Jesus. They'd seen healings. They'd cast demons out of people. Something with the Holy Spirit. They still needed the tongues of fire. They still needed encounter. Not a one-off, but encounter after encounter after encounter. Because we leak, because we go back into this foggy atmosphere. Because that's where we live and work. But we are seated in the heavenly realms. How good is that? What is God saying to you this morning? And what are you going to do about it? Let's pray together, shall we? Lord, pray that our experience will be like my friend John. That we thought he was dead, but you knew different. I'm not dead. And if you're not dead, God has got work for you. Lord, we ask for your Holy Spirit to come again now. Holy Spirit, just come and fill us. In Jesus' name, amen.